All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Pinky and the Brain, yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. In laboratory mice, their genes have been spliced. They're Pinky and the Brain, 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 Brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 22. We've been doing this for 22 weeks.
Long weeks.
It's gone by pretty quick, actually. I'm surprised.
That's not your line.
Oh, that's not my line. Oh, I'm supposed to go right into my line.
You're supposed
now?
To do your line.
Stay, go, circus boy.
Stay in character, damn it.
Yeah. All right, ready?
Sorry.
And go.
What are we going to do tonight, Kev?
I don't know. That was a little rushed, I thought.
A little rushed.
Can you?
Fuck you.
Can you slow it down a little?
How about on the spot?
How about fuck you?
Put him on the spot.
Just slow
what
it down.
What are we going to do tonight,
what,
Kev?
Now, you got
to
wait because I was in the middle of talking when you said that.
This is the best episode ever so far.
Okay.
It's awful.
All right. Shh. Okay. And slow it down. Don't rush. Okay. Go ahead.
What are we going to do tonight, Kev?
It's really the same exact speed that he just did it.
I don't think I could slow it down anymore.
I think you're postponing your part.
Baloney.
I think.
All right, try it one more time and try slowing.
I think if
it
I do
down.
It any slower, it's going to sound
just
like
do
retarded,
it.
Pinky.
He's
just
not
do it.
Okay.
What are we going to do tonight, Kev?
Let's see your now. Your pitch is off.
Boo.
Well, then use one of the other ones.
Boo.
I
Boo.
You should go.
Well, I'm. What do you mean use one of the other? This it's is all staying.
Fine. Great. Thanks.
All right. One more time, and we'll move on. Remember, high pitch, nice and slow.
What are we going to do tonight, Kev?
The same thing we do every night, Matt. Try and deliver the news. Yes.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
After all those times of making him do that, that was your contribution.
That was it. That's all I got.
Well, I'm not
yes,
even gonna
try. Pinky. It's one of the great voices.
It is.
It's hard to do.
Not your version, but
so episode 22, the same thing we do every week. That's where we're going with this week.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
22 episodes in. You know.
I don't want to say it's stale or anything.
No, I'm not saying that it's stale, but you know.
Oh yeah, we gotta shut that off.
We certainly do have a thing we do, so let's do it. Let's get right into some of our tidbits from the past week.
Tidbits?
Yeah, sure.
Is that what it's called now?
Yeah, whatever. We change it. Some of it's the same, some of it's not.
You know how he gets?
It's the same thing he does every week. So, some Batman news came out this week.
Ooh.
It looks like for the Joker, they're going to be going with the characterization from The Killing Joke.
I had this confirmed today.
Okay.
From one of the producers of the film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what did he have to say?
He said that that the casting of the Joker is as it's been reported, and you have to trust a guy like Nolan to make these decisions.
Sure.
Question. The Killing Joke.
Right.
Having not read it, that characterization, what does that mean to me?
That would be DC's origin of the Joker.
So how is it different from this Joker over here? Or is it that Joker
well,
I see in front of me?
It's more of the way it was related to me or the way I posed the question. I said, so are we looking more at the psychotic Joker angle or the clown Joker angle? And the answer, thankfully, was it would seem the psychotic angle, where you forget a lot of times that with all the goofs and the gags and Jack Nicholson popping around with false teeth coming out of his, you know, the chattering teeth and all the funny little ha-ha, you forget that the character is a psychotic, psychopathic serial killer.
Right.
And thief and just generally a lunatic. And in the 70s, maybe 60s and 70s, the character was played off as more of a clown, getting the mantle, the clown prince of crime,
right,
and so on. And they played him off for the more funny gags that he used to do. If you remember the Joker from the Batman TV show.
Oh, jeez.
And again, I bring up Jack Nicholson's portrayal of the character. What I'm talking about here is the psychotic character. In Killing Joke, for example, he finds out where Barbara Gordon lives. I think that's Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically shows up at her door, and she opens the door, and he shoots her. Right through the front, through her spine, and paralyzes her. No more Batgirl. You know, like, that's the Joker that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Joker that took tire iron or crowbar to the middle Robin, Jason Todd, and beat him to a pulp with it in Death in the Family.
Which is good, because it clearly fits in a lot more with the current incarnation of Batman, a darker...
Sure, it's a much violent, darker Gotham, realistic, it's a much darker character. The title of the film, The Dark Knight,
right,
makes definitely sense. Works in there.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What Christopher Nolan has also cleared up for us is that the rumors surrounding Ryan Philippe and Philip Seymour Hoffman potentially being the Penguin, no, not happening. And also the rumor that Sean Penn had turned down the role for the Joker... Also, no truth to that.
So, oh, really?
So, Chris Nolan kind of cleared that up.
You know,
past couple days.
Sean Penn, probably not a bad choice for that.
I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence.
Well,
I have to see it.
You know what? And we all said the same thing about Nicholson. And it's just, we all said, how are they going to do it in the new Batman? And he's not so, I mean, design-wise, he's way out there, but the character as played is pretty psychotic, so you have to appreciate it on that level.
Sure.
And who knew Mark Hamill would end up being the greatest cartoon voice of the Joker ever?
Ever.
So, I mean, when it comes to Joker and expectations, you have plenty, and it doesn't ever seem like it's going to work out, yet it always seems to. From the stance of a Joker fan.
Sure.
So, I'm okay with that.
Well, while we're talking about sequels, let's talk about Spider-Man a little bit. And this actually isn't in regards to Spider-Man 3. It's actually in regards to the franchise and its life after Spider-Man 3.
Ooh, has there been an announcement?
Well, Marvel has come out and said that they do have plans for future movies. That they have other stories in store.
Oh, but it's going to feature the younger characters?
No, no.
Which that will would be X-Men, attend X-Men. The school... X-Men. And they will become spiders.
It's X-Men. It would be the X-Men sequels. No, he said that no one else has actually signed on for any of them, but Marvel would continue them if the stories weren't, and they have stories. Now, Tobey Maguire actually came out and said at San Diego, if I remember correctly, that if he felt the storyline was appropriate and he thought the movie was appropriate, that he would continue in the role. So,
really?
There is a possibility for that. And I think Sam Raimi would probably sign on too.
You can say that to me.
I don't see that taking much then to convince him, because the storyline in the second one, I mean, Doc Ock was making the zero gravity fusion sun thing and it gets thrown in the water to douse it. Like, if you read that script, then you'd be saying, like, what the hell is this?
Well,
and then
yeah,
sign on. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but there was more to it than...
There was
yeah,
more you're talking Doc about, Ock, you're talking about like an origin aspect of Doc... Well, no, it's not really. The main story arc was Spider-Man and Peter's
and Mary Jane
transformation into this next level of Spider-Man.
Also,
that little origin snippet was really minor.
He loses his powers via like psychological psych out. You know, he just kind of gets worried they don't activate.
He experienced superpower impotence.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. I wouldn't have signed on for that. Well, yeah, I would have because they would have paid me. Yeah, exactly. Tobey Maguire, but
so we'll see.
I want everyone to not panic.
Okay.
That Marvel Civil War issue 4 has not come out on time. It has been delayed. Supposedly, it's going to be next week or the week after. I don't want anyone to panic.
I assure you, I'm not panicking.
But I guess it's inevitable. I mean, because so much is going on in that universe or universes or however we're choosing to look at it. It was inevitable that they were going to eventually be behind schedule on something.
Right.
And now it's happened. And I guess, who's it? Millar?
Mm-hmm. And McNiven?
Yeah, McNiven. So obviously Mark Millar and Steve McNiven have run into some sort of trouble. The rumor is that Steve McNiven underestimated the time it would take him to draw all of these characters doing all of these different things.
Right.
And apparently, and from what I understand, you know, that would be something that could be underestimated having not done it before.
So my question is just the main Civil War book delayed?
Well, that
what seems, about the peripheral books?
That seems to be the case, is that none of the other books have been delayed. The problem, of course, is that the events in the other books that are tied to the Civil War kind of springboard off of the main book. So if the main book is late,
and
these
other
Civil War things that are going on are springing, supposed to spring from issue 4, shall we say. Like there were two of them that came out today. Cable Deadpool was one, and I don't remember what the other one was, and I don't read them anyway. But the point is that the events in those books, and perhaps the Civil War books from last week, because I believe last week was the week it was supposed to come out originally, I think. In any event, the books that follow it, that springboard from issue 4, now all are presenting readers with, well, what the hell happened that this is going on?
Right.
So that doesn't really sit too well.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, I think for Marvel and for Civil War, you know, it's so all over the place and covering the entire Marvel Universe, and I'm doing the quotation things with my fingers because I'm sick of pointing out the fact that Marvel doesn't really have one consistent universe. I think it's unfortunate that they can't put this book out on time because it affects so many other books. It's kind of a pain in the neck.
You think from a planning perspective they would put this book at the top of the list in terms of priority and make sure it's the one that comes out, and then the others, if they were having trouble, would lag behind. So at least the main story arc in the universe could go forward, and everything else kind of would drag behind and catch up.
You know, well, the problem is, though, you're dealing with different creative teams for each book. So the creative team for Cable Deadpool, they're doing fine. They're not having any problems.
Yeah,
and the creative team for
their shit on time,
et cetera, they're not having any. It's the creative team specifically behind the core
book,
Civil War book.
Yeah.
Marvel, if they were smart, may have considered delaying the books.
Well, and I think the other thing is, you know, there's always issues brought up when you have something you know is going to be a hot seller like this that you want to, as a company, you want to prepare for any unforeseen event. So let me give you a one prime example. When they announced that Jim Lee was going on Batman, which was a historic run on Batman, sales-wise, art-wise, story-wise, historic. When they did that, I think, and maybe Jim will be able to confirm this when he comes on the show in the next couple of weeks. With Jim, they had Jim do, they had something like 6 or 7 or 8 of the issues of the 12 that he did in the can before the first one came out.
Right.
I mean, so they had a cushion there.
It doesn't seem like they ever had their head on straight with Civil War, because it was something that I picked up, kind of it just came out. I just got into comics heavily, you could say, when that was coming out. And probably the episode that, you know, I heard you announce, oh, Marvel is going to Civil War, and we were mocking it, but that actually got me interested. Since that time, everything that I read in the back of every book was always something about it's going to be delayed, or is this issue going to be delayed? So even like 1, 2, 3 and Illuminati and whatever they were coming out with, those were kind of like by the skin of their teeth, was the impression that I got. So now that I'm hearing this news, kind of keeping track of it the whole way, it's not surprising at all.
All right, we're going to jump back just for a minute into some more movie stuff. This time, Ghost Rider, actually.
Okay.
There was a video blog online today in which they reveal Blackheart as the core villain in the Ghost Rider film. And there are some images of Blackheart out there now in the film. And...
Well, that's not a new reveal. I mean, unless they're showing him.
Well, they're showing him. I mean, right. I don't think there had been images of him before.
Well, just as himself.
Yeah, well, they got a mid-transformation.
I guess it's Wes Bentley. Wes Bentley is playing him.
Yeah, they've got a mid-transformation picture up there now. And
he is one of the villains in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you know who the other villain is?
I don't know.
It's Mephisto.
Oh, I had heard that.
And do you know who's playing Mephisto? Peter Fonda.
Oh, yeah, I had heard that.
So that'll be very interesting.
I don't know. I'm still not jazzed about that movie. It's really the whole Nick Cage thing that's still bothering me. What else you got?
I got DC Direct, who you never can say enough about DC Direct.
Okay, well, this must be good then.
Not really.
I'm
a little... don't want to say... that I'm upset. I don't want to say that I'm not saying it's not going to be a wonderful product, but DC Direct is going to produce a Wonder Woman statue based on the likeness of Linda Carter, the actress who played her in the 70s TV show, sculpted by Tim Bruckner, who must be, to my knowledge, locked in a room somewhere, and only George Brewer has the key. Because this guy is churning out so much stuff, it's almost phenomenal. She'll be in the garb worn by Linda Carter on the series. And it's actually the first DC Direct product that's based on the Linda Carter version of Wonder Woman.
I honestly have to say, I don't care. I really just don't care about that pretty much at all. I'm more excited about the fact that Josh Whedon has said Warner Brothers is currently looking at his script and might actually approve it sometime soon than I am about that statue.
Well, I think from a nostalgia point of view, that a Linda Carter Wonder Woman statue is probably a very cool thing. If you like that show, if you like Wonder Woman, that's probably a really great product. I can't see it being a big draw. I wonder if this is just one of those products that maybe they're kind of taking a little gamble on, I think.
It sounds like to me it's something that like Electric Tiki should be putting out or NECA should be doing a bobblehead of more than DC Direct doing a statue. I mean, DC Direct normally holds pretty close to, or has always held close to, the comic book versions of the characters. Have they ever done, they've never done any other Batman television show or stuff, have they? They did movie
they
stuff.
Did, well,
but
they,
not
they
the
did
TV
some
show,
movie
did
stuff.
They?
They did Super Friends. They did the Super Friends incarnations of...
But still, that was but it was an animated show. That kind of, it's a little bit different. I mean, as far as live action is concerned, they never did an Adam West statue as Batman,
that
right?
That I'm aware of, no.
Yeah. I don't know. It does seem like a gamble to me. It seems like a real specialty piece. Well, I mean, it's nice. It looks nice.
I think it looks good.
But,
yeah, it's just kind of...
Not excited.
When they put something
which
like
is
that
very,
out,
yeah.
What kind of run do they have? How many pieces?
Well,
does
usually,
it sell 100%? Like, how does that work, and how do they make money on it?
They haven't listed what the edition number is going to be. The edition number would be how many of them that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if they make more than 1,000 of those, I'd be surprised.
Which is cool to have one if you're a really big fan.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the point is. I just don't... It's an interesting choice.
Can they sustain that commercially, though? They can continually put out pieces like that? Because they must hire a guy to do multiple pieces then. Because if they just hired him for that one piece,
they have two or three
off.
Guys, Bruckner being one, who are just locked in the room. These are the guys who are churning out everything.
So
action figures, statues, and it's all with all due respect, fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. And they should continue to lock those guys up and pay them whatever it is that they need to get paid and feed them whatever it is that they need to eat, as long as they're going to keep producing work like this. You know, and Matt said, and I'm gonna agree with him, the statue looks fantastic. It looks like Linda Carter looked in the TV show. And if you're a fan of that, you'll probably want this statue. It's just an interesting, I just thought it was an interesting choice, so I decided to comment on it. Cool. But let's move on from Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Sure.
Something everyone should look out for next week. I think it's next week. Is it next week? September the 5th? Is that this Tuesday?
That is.
That's this Tuesday?
I believe so.
People should be on the lines at Best Buy looking for the Gojira box set, which is, yes, Gojira. It's the original Japanese masterpiece, Godzilla. And
right.
In this box set, you're going to get both the Japanese version and you are going to get Godzilla King of Monsters, King of the Monsters, which is the U.S. theatrical release that starred Raymond Burr. These are the original black and whites that were done so long ago.
Well, since we're talking about...
from the original 35mm print, get both versions in the box.
Sure.
It's nice. Keep a lookout for it.
Since we're talking about DVDs,
yeah,
let's hit about a couple other things real quick.
Okay.
First, have you heard they're doing a Punisher special edition DVD? For, I think it's November 17th or thereabouts.
No, but can't say as I'm surprised.
Listen to his voice tremble. No.
Well, you know what? They said that as far as its box office sales, it didn't do great. Did pretty mediocre at best. But as far as its DVD sales, the original DVD release, it did really well for Marvel.
Right.
And so I guess they've gone back and they've retouched it. They've got some special features. I think there's an uncut segment on the something that was edited from the film that they've now animated.
Oh, really?
And they're putting on there. Kind of interested in seeing that. That's set for November. That I'm okay with. But let me tell you what I'm not okay with.
The sequel?
No. The re-release of these Lord of the Rings movies. Again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's really like Lucas has now gone over to New Line. It is New Line, right?
Yeah.
And said, hey, let's think of another way to repackage and remarket the same old shit like I do.
Right.
What these releases are, and they came out on Tuesday the 28th, I believe, of August, is the extended edition and the regular edition in a new box set, slim down box set, so you don't have that big book looking thing.
Yeah.
And it's got some new documentaries and stuff on
and
it.
And it's one disc.
Is it one disc?
Per film.
Yes.
Yeah. So, in other words, you use one disc, which was formerly two discs for the extended version. Now it's all on one disc.
Right.
And the justification for this, I hate to tell you because I actually did the research here. You're never going to believe the justification for this is the fact that they've put together these new documentaries.
Well, why not release just the documentaries?
Because according no one would buy them? To, right. I think it's the OneRing.net, I think. Which has a statement on there that basically says that due to agreements with the, I guess, the filmmakers and the actors and people generally involved with the film, they are not allowed to release the documentaries by themselves. They can only accompany versions of the film. That's what they're saying.
Well,
something to that effect. They're
what would have made
on
sense?
One of the websites.
What would have made sense to me, based on another thing that Peter or Jackson done for Kong, would have been maybe if they took a bunch of his production diaries, which you know he has, and they took a bunch of these documentaries and they put it together in this specialty packaging like they did with the Kong production diaries.
I don't think they had the same agreement with the Kong people as they did with Lord of the Rings. At least that's what I'm guessing. If what is being said online is true, that was the intention. The intention is to provide the fans with both versions of the movie and these special new documentaries.
Well, then, the only thing I could say to that, if that's the case, in my personal opinion, then they should have packaged them together. And they should have made it a set, and they should have made it a little bit more special than it is.
Yeah, it's
to
really,
encourage sales.
Yeah, it really is kind of blah.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
don't get me wrong, I'm going to get them.
Yeah,
but
oh, I'm not, but that's fine.
I want to see, but the documentaries are new and special.
Well, the good part that I can think that comes of this is that they rejuvenate their revenue stream based on Lord of the Rings that has since probably died out. Because if you look, if you go to Walmart and Target and stuff like that, you see copies of widescreen, Return of the King, and for like $9.
The theatrical release. The theatrical editions.
But do they need to rejuvenate that stream of revenue? Can't they move on to something new?
Sure they can, but why not? They, you know, they've already paid all this money to get the license, to make the movies and all this stuff. It's big business. They're going to throw that out there and people are going to buy it anyway.
Right. You know what really bugs me?
What bugs
me? What was the retail on the special editions?
Well, when they first came out, there was like $40.
They're $40 for like, let's just take Fellowship of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So regular Fellowship of the Ring was like what, $19?
$20. Theatrical, and it was $40 for the special.
Now you can get both of them for $20 or less than $20 because they're usually on sale in the first week. So for less than $20, you can get both versions of the movie.
But you can't let that bug you because that happens in every entertainment industry. No one's saying, movies. And,
yeah,
you know.
Of course. I'm not saying that it should bug you. It's just another one of those things that kind of stick in your craw.
You should feel taken advantage of, especially if you go and you buy this one too. Because you've already probably bought two, right?
I almost hate to say this, but...
Well, no, I know, but two versions of each movie.
No, I don't have the theatrical versions, which is one of the reasons I want to buy these.
I actually like it because it's only one disc, so I can put it in and not have to get up continuously.
That's the bonus to these also, is that you don't have to get up. But I wonder what sort of quality is being sacrificed to get it all on one disc.
I don't remember if they were double-layered discs or not, but if they just put it on two layers and they set the menu up in such a way where the movie just skips the scenes that are in the extended release, they don't have to sacrifice anything.
I think they're both on one disc, and it's a flip disc. So I think on one side of the disc is the theatrical version, and the other side is the extended version.
I almost hate to say this, but maybe they should have considered these special releases for something like Blu-ray to boost Blu-ray sales.
Which you can guarantee will happen. Blu-ray, it'll come out on Blu-ray and HD DVD, even if, I don't know who New Line is in bed with, but it's almost guaranteed to happen.
Let's just comment about that for a second. I'm not getting either one of those.
Okay.
And quite frankly, you would be smart, all of you listening to this, to not give in to this silly hype.
Well, not Blu-ray yet, but eventually you're going to be forced to get one.
Why? They're not going to get rid of the standard format.
Eventually the standard format's going to go away, just like everything else.
Nope. I think those two are going to go away first. And if they don't go away, then someone will release a player that plays them both.
Oh, I'm sure. But
and all of them, standard format, HD, and Blu-ray.
But
someone will release that player.
But price comparison-wise, the cost of the discs aren't that much different. It's really the cost of the players. And once the players seep into the market and the price of the players comes down, one of those formats is going to end up replacing standard DVD format.
I don't believe
that. And those players will be backwards compatible with your old DVD library. And your new library, every time you buy a new release, it's going to be either Blu-ray or high def, whichever one wins.
It had fucking better be backwards fucking compatible.
They got
3,000 DVDs.
There's no excuse for them not to be backwards compatible.
Yeah, well.
You know what we should do is record this conversation and then in 7 years go back to it and find out who's right.
We are recording this conversation.
Right.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 609. And we're going to play a bit we did way back in 2006 about Blu-ray versus HD. And amazingly enough, I know everyone will find this shocking. Hey, Big Kev was right again. Blu-ray and HD, both gone. Standard format, still here.
I think one of the formats is going to end up winning, but that's my personal opinion. But that's it. I don't have anything else this week.
Me either. Oh. We ain't ending it that way. Don't you dare hit that.
Well, again, okay, you better say something good then.
So,
Don't start with so,
Halloween is fast approaching. You might want to give your loved one or special friend an excellent Halloween gift.
What would that excellent Halloween gift be, Kev?
Well, one gift you might consider would be a Teddy Scare collectible bear.
Ooh!
These gruesome teddy bears are not the run-of-the-mill teddy bears that you're used to, Matt.
can't get these teddy bears from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company.
That's right. You have to go to teddyscares.com.
Where you can pick up Series 2 of the Teddy Scares now. What are some of those bears, Kev?
Mundy Drudge, Maisie Podge, Sheldon Grog, Eli Retch, and Granger Evermore.
Each 12-inch bear is available now for $28.99.
And each bear comes in its own collectible window packaging.
Not to mention, you can now get your favorite bear in mini form.
That's right. The Morgue Minis are only $10.99.
You can pick up all of these bears at www.teddyscares.com.
And don't forget to check out their Barely Alive Collectors Club.
That's teddyscares.com.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes, and you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain, 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 Brain.
Narf.
Because this is your bag, baby.
But you are the chosen one.
It's our show.
Yeah, but...
You do it.
But you're the...
You can come back from a break.
But you're the DC...
Stop bickering.
No, I'm not. All right, we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 22. We're going to talk a little bit about some DC Direct product tonight.
Well, there's a big change from last week.
I know, right?
It's just hard when DC Direct is pumping out so much fantastic product. It's hard for us not to want to talk about it.
Well, it's let's not even say fantastic product, although it is product, but they're just pumping out product on a more regular basis than it would seem most right now.
And although that's true, you cannot deny the quality.
No, not at all.
Marvel Legends is pumping out a line every couple of weeks.
It's true.
And we can hardly say the same thing about Marvel Legends that we're going to say or that we have said about DC Direct.
It's true. Well, what do we have here tonight?
Tonight, we're going to look at Elseworlds series number 2.
Okay.
Now, Elseworlds, for those of you who are unfamiliar, Elseworlds is a line of books in the DC universe. When they want to tell a story about a character that you're very familiar with, like a Batman or a Superman or what have you, that that doesn't take place within continuity,
right?
Because there is consistent continuity in DC. If it doesn't take place within continuity, or they want to set it in some other time period or fantastic kind of world, they call that an Elseworlds book.
Okay.
And now DC Direct has gone ahead and decided to take some of the characters from these Elseworld books and produce action figures. And so what we're looking at here is series Elseworld Series 2. Elseworld Series 1 featured the from the book Red Sun.
Right.
Featured Superman and Wonder Woman. And Red Sun was a book whereby Superman did not land in the United States, but lands in the Soviet Union.
USSR.
Right.
Right.
And so, obviously, Ray's different, and so on and so forth. Becomes a big, obviously very powerful character in that sense in the Soviet Union. And, of course, that other characters around him are different and changed. Also in Elseworlds Series 1, we got Batgirl and Batman from the Thrill Killer miniseries.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that miniseries, actually.
That was Thrill Killer was the Howard Chaykin, Dan Brereton book.
Oh, okay.
And very stylized art and story. And they gave us, like I said, Batgirl and Batman from that. And then rounding out Elseworlds Series 1 was Batman from the Crimson Mist
story, right.
Which is where he's turned into a vampire type creature.
Love the interesting vampires.
Figure. But we're moving on now to Elseworlds Series 2. And there are some significant points to be made about Elseworlds Series 2.
Okay.
First, there's 6 figures in the line, but 2 of them are in one pack.
Right.
So, but we'll get to that in a minute because that's kind of the highlight of this, and I want to get through the other portions
sure.
of this. So the characters that we're getting now are we're getting another Red Sun Superman, but this is President Superman.
Right.
when he becomes the Russian leader and restores the Union, the Soviet Union, and looks, the character's a little different from the original one that they released. We're also getting the Batman from Red Sun, who is an interesting design as well.
Right.
We're also getting one of my favorite Elseworlds books, Gotham by Gaslight.
I didn't know that was your favorite.
It's one of my favorites.
That was the, I got that book via a coupon in the Star Ledger that said, take this coupon to your local comic retailer for a free DC comic. I went to Retailer X's place when I was at a different location, and Gotham by Gaslight was mine. That was
wow.
like 12 years ago,
wow,
15 years ago.
Retailer X next week on the show.
Excellent. That's the Victorian age guy.
Yeah, it's
Batman,
actually
right? Jack the Ripper.
It's Jack the Ripper. Yeah. It's the Batman that would kind of have existed around the time of Jack the Ripper. Great, great, great book. If you haven't picked it up, you ought to. So they've given us Batman from Gotham by Gaslight, which is awesome. And really, they're all awesome.
Sure.
Sculpting-wise, DC Direct, we've said it 1,000 times. We don't need to say it again. They're awesome-looking pieces. Here's the highlight.
Okay.
The other figures in the line are Kingdom Come Jade.
Right.
Who is one of the characters from Kingdom Come.
Right.
And the other, the two-pack in the selection is the Spectre and Norman McKay.
Right.
From Kingdom Come.
These must be really good figures because he's looking at them and he looks like he's about to fall into a trance.
No, I'm reading the little, over. I'm just reading the little tag under here. So if you're familiar with the Alex Ross spectacular book, Kingdom Come, you are very excited to now have additional Kingdom Come figures to add to your collection because, like all of the DC Direct products based on Alex Ross work, it looks like they walked off the page.
Yeah,
just
it's
that
true.
Good. Now, here comes the great part. For those of you who are collecting Kingdom Come action figures, there was 3 waves, 1 Toy Fair exclusive figure, and now they've started to pepper these Kingdom Come figures into the Elseworlds line.
Right.
And the reason is because they consider that book an Elseworlds book. Me, I hope it's continuity. I hope it goes that way. But that's just me. Here's the best part. If you are collecting the Kingdom Come figures and you're keeping them in the packaging, you may tend to be alarmed by the fact that they are now putting these characters in Elseworlds in another line that is not Kingdom Come. Well, you can relax because DC Direct, with the collector in mind, has gone ahead and used the Kingdom Come packaging for these Kingdom Come pieces. That's very exciting.
That's
from
cool.
a collectible, from we a collectible
actually,
standpoint.
I think we talked about this already when they announced it. And now to finally see them in person,
they really look
great.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those lines where that I don't open
right.
because the packaging is perfect. And you call me a poser, but I say that when the packaging is as perfect as the Kingdom Come line is, it's okay to go ahead and leave it in the packaging.
Sure.
And the Kingdom Come stuff, beautiful the way it is right in the package. And to have DC Direct, now that had to cost them a little more money to package 2 characters or 3 characters separately like that in different packaging other than this, because you could tell this is a standard card and bubble packaging. The other three characters, Red Sun, President Superman, Red Sun Batman, and Gotham by Gaslight Batman, are just a standard card and bubble sort of packaging. The Kingdom Come packaging is boxed. It's a window box. It's very displayable. And it's got to cost them a little more to do that. So you got to respect them from the standpoint of... from the collector's standpoint, that's a great thing for them to consider doing.
Is there a price point difference?
No.
Do those two figures cost more than the other
they're
three?
They're the same as
by
the
even
other
a
ones.
Buck?
Nope. Not even at all. And you know what's great? They're already planning Elseworlds Series 3. It's actually already sculpted. It'll be coming out, I'm sure, before the year's out, although I'm not sure. It'll be coming out soon.
Right.
And it also has two Kingdom Come characters in it, who will also be in the original Kingdom Come packaging. And I think it has to be said here that this is something that DC Direct really, really does well, is they listen to the fans. You know, when the fans clamored years ago for resealable packaging.
Right.
And DC Direct said, you know, we're going to investigate this whole resealable packaging thing. This was people who wanted to keep the figures in the packaging, but be able to take them out, display them, and then put them back in the packaging for storage or whatever. They did a whole line of figures in resealable packaging. And as it turned out, you know, the hunt, kind of whole resealable packaging thing kind of went away really quickly.
Right.
And not that it was a failure. It was perhaps not the right line to launch a packaging change in. But in any event, they listened to the fans and they produced that at a cost to them. And I think this is another fine example of them. There is a clamoring for more of these Kingdom Come pieces. And when there's a clamoring for something, DC Direct responds. And not only do they respond, but they respond by stepping up and saying, you know, it's great that you guys want these Kingdom Come figures. We want to do them and pepper them in as we can. And the collector response being, but what about the packaging? And they go ahead and they do the packaging to match all the other packaging. I think that's fantastic. George Brewer really needs to be commended for this decision. And not only once, but now it looks like he's going to continue to do that down the line.
Sure.
Which is fantastic.
The only problem I have with these is that, being someone who collects figures kind of as a part-time thing, every once in a while I'll take notice.
You mean
of
as opposed to Matt and I who do it for full-time?
Yeah, I don't have a display case in my house that's chock full of... Okay, anyway.
I don't think your parents would allow that.
No. So, they're all too nice. If I'm walking and I see a line and one of the figures in the line looks good enough for me to say, hey, I can recognize that figure, I know what it's from.
Right.
Even if I haven't read the book back to front, it's good enough for me to buy. If it's like, you know, as much as $15, I'll buy it. The problem with these is all of them are of such high quality that I would have to choose if I could actually find them on the peg somewhere to buy, which would then make me not buy any of them.
So your complaint is that they're too good?
Is this too good?
Your complaint is really a backhanded compliment.
So wait, let me understand
this. They're good.
Yeah, let me understand this. I know that you like Gotham by Gaslight.
I do.
So are you going to now seek out this Gotham by Gaslight Batman figure?
I'm absolutely not, because I also dig the USSR Superman or whatever you call it, and I'm not going to buy that one.
Red Sun. Okay, but you never read Red Sun.
No.
So you might not like the story of Red Sun, although it is an exceptionally produced figure. The Gotham by Gaslight figure, however, is a character from a book that you have read and you do enjoy, so don't you think it's worth, if you liked it that much, to maybe seek out one of these at your local comic book shop?
You would think, but that would be logical. And when they're making stuff that's as nice as this, you can't make me choose. Because I'm not going to spend $135 on the entire line or whatever.
It wasn't all that expensive.
So, so instead of going to a shop where you may be forced to see all of them, because I can't wrap my brain around this. Instead of going to a shop where you may be forced to see all of them, how about you just scope out Gotham by Gaslight Batman on like eBay? Well, you'll only see him.
Oh, man.
And you could just buy him and you could... You could play with them and make your little Mr. Fantastic sound effects like you do. And You have a good. I want to see you happy, Mr. Fantastic.
You know
I think
what,
you
though?
Need to have that peace.
But you know what, though? It's okay that he's saying that they're really of a high quality, and it would be very difficult for him to pick just one.
Oh, sure.
That I understand.
But to deprive himself
of the one that he probably would like the best if he had to pick just one, I think we need to do an experiment. I think we
social
seriously,
experiment.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is get a gun.
Yeah,
and we need to put the gun to Mr. Fantastic's head and force him to pick one of these figures and buy it at our local comic book watering hole. That's what I think we need to. I think we need to. All right, here's a gun, and now it's at your head, Fantastic. Pick one and buy it. I think that's if that's the way that we have to mold Fantastic in our own image to get him to buy some of these products that he appreciates.
If I look at I can't wrap my brain.
He's Matt so befuddled by your statement.
I can't wrap my brain around this. If I deprived myself of one piece of a line every time I saw an entire line that I liked, my collection would be like 10 figures big, I think.
But that's your collection would be
mine.
Mr. Fantastic's collection.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
That's just the thing. If I walk into most stores and I see a line, I can say, hey, that fig's nice, and the rest of them are pretty crappy. Or the rest of them I can recognize because they were made from sculpts, you know, from two series ago and things like that. And maybe that there's really one that I think captures what the artist drew on the page, and it's the same thing pop
yet,
right off most of the time, and that's
and yet,
the figure I'll buy. But in this case, I can't decide.
And yet,
but you can decide.
No, I don't
and
know
yet,
that one. Look how good the other ones are.
And yet, he wants every one of those damn Sigma Six figures.
I don't want every one of those.
Like for me, an example would be
Heavy
the X-Men Evolution line,
Duke,
right?
Snake
I really
Eyes,
love those figures.
Storm Shadow.
I really wanted all of those figures, but I'm a huge Nightcrawler fan, so I sought out the Nightcrawler figure.
Which one?
The Nightcrawler figure. I actually have both. I have plain clothes Nightcrawler and costume Nightcrawler.
But still,
I sought out just those two particular figures, even though I really wanted to buy the Blob and I really wanted to buy that Magneto figure, which is really badass also.
Right.
And I passed up on them for the one that I really wanted most.
Well, I think we're going to have to conclude by saying that DC Direct Elseworlds Series 2 is highly controversial to this show.
Apparently.
Because I picked all of them. Matt is struggling with whether he should continue his Kingdom Come collection.
That's true.
And Fantastic is so befuddled by their fine production quality that he can't seem to pick one out of the five, even though there's one that he really likes more than the rest of them. Or that he's more familiar with, at the least.
Does that go through all walks of life? Like, if you're in a restaurant and there are five really good things on the menu and you can't choose between the five, do you just not eat?
Well, it has come down to the fact that I just looked at the menu and I saw a couple things that I wanted and I just cried. And that was it. I just walked out and cried.
Well, there it is. You know, if DC Direct's Elseworlds Series 2 leaves you crying because you can't decide on buying just one, it's like Lay's potato chips. You can't buy just one. Everybody should check them out at the very least. And yeah, give them a roll. Try to see if they make you cry when you try to pick just one.
I need to go lay down for a couple minutes.
This is Mr. Fantastic, letting you know that it's Big Apple Con time again. That's right, Saturday, September 16th and Sunday, September 17th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion, 401 7th Ave at 33rd Street, New York City. In addition to the great dealers, you can meet Tank Girl star Lori Petty, Sweat Hog Ron Palillo, TV's Batgirl Yvonne Craig, as well as wrestling superstars Captain Lou Albano, the Wild Samoans, the Iron Sheik, and many more. And don't forget to meet and greet with the entire Big Cavs Geek Stuff crew. For more information, check out www.bigapplecon.com. See you there.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting shit but running out. As time ticks by, still I try. No rest for cross-tops in my mind. On my own, here we go. And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 22. The same thing we do every week. Except this is not going to be the same thing we do every week, so it's kind of a lie.
But it does directly tie into the same thing we do every week.
It does. It does. And what we're going to do now is we're going to play my exclusive interview with Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche, the voices of Pinky and the Brain.
Excellent.
And they're going to be discussing, obviously, the long-awaited DVD release that happened a couple of weeks ago of both Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs.
Right.
And we were just having a discussion about this because it seems to me that Animaniacs, that this is season one.
Right.
The first release is season one. That's what it seems to indicate to me by the packaging.
Okay.
And that Pinky and the Brain, which they're calling volume one, is actually, it says on the packaging, 22 favorite episodes from the Emmy award-winning series. So that doesn't necessarily indicate season one. It says 22 episodes.
Right. And that would be the Pinky and the Brain show.
Right.
The show was to spawn off of Animaniacs eventually.
Right. Spawn off. Are we coining that today?
No, is spawn off not a, is not a, that not
spin off usually, or spawned from.
Oh, okay.
Spawn off. I like it. Fantastic. Spawn off.
Sure.
So it would seem that this is, that volume one is 22, it actually says right on the packaging, 22 specially chosen episodes from the show's 95 through 98 run. So my guess is other volumes will feature other episodes. Ooh, right. Big stretch there.
Wow.
And my guess is that, and it's not even a guess because Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche in my interview discussed the fact that volume two is being prepared for Christmas release.
Right. Sometime in December, I think they
One is wondering, is it volume two of both? Is it volume two of one of them? I don't know. I think it's I'll tell you this much. I am ecstatic that they release these on DVD, because you and I, Matt, particularly, have been discussing the fate of Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain with regards to DVD.
For a long time.
For a long time.
A lot of people. It's one of those cartoons that everybody watched. You know what I mean? There were no divisive grounds to it. There were no, you know, I'm not a fan of Batman, so I'm not watching the Batman cartoon. I'm not a comic book guy, so I'm not watching the Justice. There was none of that. It was everybody, almost everybody was a fan of Animaniacs when it was on the air.
Yeah, and we were watching these in college.
Sure.
I mean,
it's a funny show.
Well, you were in college. I was hanging around at college.
Right.
That's kind of how that goes. But yeah, all right, so let's proceed on with my exclusive interview. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, this is Big Kev, and I have a special treat. I'm here with the voices of Pinky and the Brain, Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche, respectively. And it's been a long time, guys. We thought it was gone and was never coming back. What's the story with that?
We are back, and we're here to take over the world, Kev.
Yes, and let's get him on our team, because he's Big Kev, and it's quite obvious what standing in front of him. You could sell shade. You're a large fellow, Big Kev.
Yes, that has been our downfall, our size,
yes,
Pinky.
Yes, we need big.
We need big,
yes.
Kev. Bigness. Well, my friend.
How do you guys feel about the, what is, I guess, the eventual final release of the DVD with everything else coming out all the time? It seems like we waited an awful long time for...
We're very excited. This is Maurice LaMarche. This is my real voice, which is very different from the Brain, of course, yes. Anyway, we're so excited about it. I mean, I've been, you know, watching fan message boards saying, when is the DVD coming out, when? And, you know, I picked up the phone, I called Steve, and I said, come on. Yeah. Come on, Stephen. Let's get it together, man. No, I'm kidding. I want to work for him again. It just finally, just everything aligned and it came about. We're very excited. July 25th.
It's
It's in stores.
This is Rob Paulson here. Yeah, I honestly, Kevin, if I had a nickel for everybody that said, why isn't this out on DVD? And it makes sense. I mean, shows that have been out or that have been off the air a much less longer time than ours are on DVD immediately. And I can only assume that it was, you know, trying to get marketing rights together between Mr. Spielberg and Warner Brothers. So whatever they finally squared away, I'm glad it is. And I'm really pleasantly surprised at the amount of buzz that's been caused by Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs. It's pretty substantial. Matter of fact, Maurice told me that on Amazon.com, when that was first announced, it was like in the top 10 pre-video.
And we're climbing back up. The cool thing is this is not just going to be even great enough if it was just the cartoons remastered, but loaded with special features, including writers' roundtables, interviews with us and Andrea Romano. It's going to be just a whole...
Rain in a thong.
Yes, but that's an Easter egg. You'll have to find it, and I'm not telling you how.
So the rumor going around was that Steven, for some reason, decided that he wasn't going to release them at some point. I guess is there no truth to that?
I've not heard that, Kev. Honestly, I only assumed that it was something to do with the fact that it wasn't wholly owned, you know, Steven Spielberg Presents, and it was a Warner Brothers production release. So
and the rights were tied up with Nickelodeon for 5 years as well. So you had you know, it was a bit of a
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it was kind of all ping ponging around, and we didn't know. You know, I think it was a question of who gets to release this. Everybody has to agree, and so you know, as the lease got up on it, I think everybody went, yeah, all right, let's get this thing out. So
it seemed like just a no-brainer, or not to coin a phrase, a no-brainer. But in fact,
no, I'm on it.
It did take a while, and they've already said that there are plans to release a couple of other volumes.
Because that's great news.
Yeah, we did like 65 half hours of Pinky and the Brain and 100 Animaniacs, so they could release two or three volumes with 20 or so on each.
Well, I because the volume 2 is already being ready for Christmas.
Oh, excellent!
And we've just shot some special features for volume 3 on both.
Did you like the show, Kev?
I was a humongous fan of the show.
Well, thank you.
A big fan, even. Yes.
Well said. No, I mean, you don't have to like it, but I'm glad you did.
No, I absolutely do. It's like one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I was in attendance for today was meeting you guys and finding out everything I could about, you know, what was going on with the DVDs, why such the long delay, and so on and so forth. But it's been very great talking to both of you. Maurice, thank you. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kev. Great meeting you.
So that was my interview. They're really great guys. The two of them, really mm-hmm. great guys. And as we learned in the interview, it was not Steven Spielberg putting the kibosh.
Right.
As was the rumor going around. But it was some rights issues with Nickelodeon, which makes sense because these did air on Nickelodeon for a time.
After their original run,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it was obviously a question of if, you know, who's going to get to release
right.
them and so on and so forth. But I'm glad that's all cleared up. And the guys telling us that volume 2, although not very specific of which volume 2 they were speaking, I'm hoping both, volume 2 of Animaniacs and or Pinky and the Brain coming to us in time for Christmas.
What's up, everyone? This is Kenneth Robert Marlowe, voice actor for the anime series Gravitation and Genshiken. You have a shop that deals in toys, comic books, and other geek-related stuff? Maybe you're an artist? Perhaps you got a band you want to promote? It's a good thing to know that the Geek Stuff audience is growing week by week. Perfect place to advertise your shop, your artistry, or your band gigs. Shoot an email over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and talk to them about advertising right here on the show. Once again, that's BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
Stuff episode 22. We're gonna just quickly hit upon some of the stuff we discussed tonight, namely the Batman sequel and some of the rumors floating around it. Looks like they are doing a more psychotic, insane type of Joker, a la The Killing Joke.
Which is good.
And the rumors about Philip Seymour Hoffman and Sean Penn and Ryan Phillippe, just rumors.
All bullshit.
All hooey. Then I talked a little bit about Spider-Man and how it looks like the third one may not necessarily be the last one as it was originally rumored. Marvel certainly has plans to continue the franchise if the third film is successful, which I can't imagine it won't be. I think Tobey Maguire has even said that he'd consider it if things are right and things work out right. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
We also had those images of Blackheart from the upcoming Ghost Rider film, and I still don't care about Nicolas Cage in that movie.
I was speaking about the what I feel is the inevitable delay in the Civil War series from Marvel. Episode or issue 4 of the core book has been delayed, and thus having thrown readers into turmoil by having books associated with issue 4 of Civil War kind of leaving those readers in the dark as to what happened. I also spoke about DC Direct's announcement of a Linda Carter style Wonder Woman statue, a statue based on Linda Carter's take on the Wonder Woman character from the 70s TV show, and we think it's an interesting choice, although not necessarily a mainstream one.
Interesting. That's a good way to put it.
Interesting. I also recommended that everyone run out on September 5th to their local, I'm going to say Best Buy, because I like Best Buy, and pick up the Gojira or Godzilla 2-disc box set of the original remastered film, which contains both the Japanese and English versions. And I think that's quite a little piece of film there.
Certainly. From there, we move directly into DC Direct's Elseworlds Volume, or Wave 2, I should say.
Wave 2.
And the five figures that are included in that wave, most notably, at least in my opinion, was the Batman by the Gaslight figure and the two fantastic Kingdom Come figures in their original packaging, although the other two figures are nothing to balk about.
Oh, the Red Sun figures are excellent, excellent figures, and you shouldn't discount them just because the book may be a little bit out there.
And I'd like to say that I think that Mr. Fantastic should go and buy that figure.
I think he should go immediately and buy the Gotham by Gaslight Batman and stop being such a panty waste about making a decision.
Exactly.
But I think, again, we should stress home the point that George Brewer over at DC Direct has really done the fans a right here by packaging the Kingdom Come figures in the original Kingdom Come packaging. Bravo, George. And he's going to do it again in Wave 3. Good for him. They should pepper those characters throughout the other Elseworlds waves as well. Hope to God they're going to continue that, because there's at least, let me think if I can count them on one hand, 153 characters from Kingdom Come that I think need to be made into action figures. Need, mind you. Not to mention Dark Knight Series 2, George. Dark Knight Series 2.
Let's hope.
Yes.
We then moved into the interview with the voice talents for Pinky and the Brain and other various Animaniacs characters.
Rob Paulsen and Maurice LaMarche are great guys. They gave us a fine little snippet interview where they talked about the long-awaited return of Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain to the DVD format, or the first time to the DVD format, I should say. And their announcement also that Volume 2 of hopefully both are being prepared for a Christmas release, as well as Steven Spielberg having nothing whatsoever to do with the quashing of them or the delay, if you will, of having them released on DVD. But in fact, it was some internal rights issues.
Blame it on Nick.
Blame it on Nick.
Elodian.
Blame it on Nick. Or as I like to call him, Jesse Falcon.
Wow.
Sorry, just default. That's because Joe Quesada was not available in my brain at that moment, because I'd have blamed him.
Right.
Fucking jerks.
And I think that's about it for this episode.
You want to go out like that? I think we should go out like this.
You got to have the last word.
What, would you like to have the last word? Go ahead, Fantastic. What's your last word?
Absolutely not.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Oh, I think so, Brain, but balancing a family and a career, it's all too much for me.
I think so, Brain, but if they called them sad meals, kids wouldn't buy them.
I think so, Brain, but me and Pippi Longstocking, I mean, what would the children look like?
Well, I think so, Brain, but if we didn't have ears, we'd look like weasels.
Well, I think so, Brain, but if Jimmy cracks corn and no one cares, why does he keep doing it?
I think so, Brain, but this time you wear the tutu.
Yeah, Brain, but where are we going to find rubber pants our size?
I think so, Brain, but isn't that why they invented tube socks?
I think so, Brain, but we'll never get a monkey to use dental floss.
I think so, Brain, but the Rockettes? I mean, it's mostly girls, isn't it?
Well, I think so, Brain, but do I really need two tongues?
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
Yes, I am.
They're Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. Their twilight campaign is easy to explain. To prove their mousy worth, they'll overthrow the earth. They're Dinky, they're Pinky and the Brain, Brain, Brain.